I tell you what he could do. Play some baseball. I'd like to call in order the regular meeting of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, April 27th, 2015. And as our tradition for many, many years, I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think we're going to set a new record tonight with the largest number of minutes to approve. And unfortunately, we can't do it all at once. We have to do each one separately. But if you looked at that agenda, you'd actually think we were doing something. First, I'd like to see if we can get approval for the 1A, the executive session minutes of April 13, Part 1.
So moved.
A motion by Councilmember Boyes to approve the minutes of the executive session for April 13, Part 1. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Is it approved? Let the record show that the vote was unanimous 5-0.
No, I have to abstain on that one.
Okay. All right. Let's go. Okay. 4-0. Okay. And let them might as well just explain because it's no big mystery. The reason why we had part one and part two is because in one of those sessions, and I think it's pretty obvious at this point, in one of the sessions we were discussing and getting advice from our attorney and so forth regarding the potential purchase of the Tyson property. Whenever we talk about the Tyson property, no matter what it is, Troy recuses himself as he should, and then we reconvene and just keep everything separate. So that's what that is. Anybody's interested in why we have all these different parts. And if we ever conclude that deal, we probably never have to do that for a long time. All right, next is item 1B. This is the executive session of Mayor and Council of Part 2 of April 13th.
I make a motion to approve Part 2 of April 13th executive session minutes.
We have a motion by Council Member Hall to approve the executive session minutes of April 13th, Part 2. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. That passes unanimously. And again, the reason for the April 13th executive session was to consider acquisition of real property, that's what property, for a public purpose and matters directly related thereto. And the second part was to consult with staff, consultants, or other individuals about pending or potential litigation. Okay, now we're up to 1C. This is, we're up to 1E. This is the regular session minutes of April 13th.
So, I got a correction on the council comments. It needs to be changed from Tom's Pool Care to Tron's Pool Care.
Okay. Thanks. T-R-O-N-D, apostrophe. Which page is that on?
Last page number 8. It's numbered number 8. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
From the top, very first sentence.
T-R-O-N-D.
T-R-O-N-D apostrophe S. Yes, ma'am.
In sweet strong.
With that correction, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay. Councilmember Brigham has made a motion to approve the minutes with correction made by Councilmember Boyes for the regular session minutes of April 13th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It passed unanimously. Next is the minutes for the general fund work session, which was held on Monday, April 20th.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the general fund work session, April the 20th minutes.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Hall to approve the general fund work session minutes of April 20th. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Yeah, passing unanimously. Next is 1G, which is executive session minutes of April 20th.
Motion to approve.
Here we have a motion by Councilmember Boyes to approve the executive session minutes of April 20th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Well, that's why you get paid for the second
we're working through.
Reason under H, the statement of closure for the April 20th executive session was discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials over whom the mayor and council has jurisdiction. Okay. Now that we've got that fun stuff out of the way, we really get to have some fun. I'm very, very pleased. I hope you read it in the paper, and you're going to have a chance to meet this very nice young lady who has continued a tradition that very few towns in the state can claim. And that is, I'm going to introduce you to Lindley Hill. Lindley is a fourth grade student, am I correct, at Worcester Prep. And she won the district mayor's essay contest called If I Were Mayor. And as we have done on occasion in the past, we invited Lindley and her family to join us. And I'm going to introduce you to her, and then she's going to actually read the winning essay. And so Lindley, will you join me?
First of all, congratulations. We're very proud of you. Thank you. And if you just briefly explain what the theme of the contest was.
If I were mayor, I would make sure something.
Jay, give her that microphone. Hold that for her so we can hear her.
Sure. And speak up as loud as you can without feeling uncomfortable.
If I were mayor, I would work hard to make sure that all of my citizens were happy and in every town. Happy Town was deciding on the playground or skate park in the empty lot. In town, we took a vote and more people voted for the playground. When I told the people of Happy Town that we would go to playground, some people were happy and some people were sad. We also sat down at a city council meeting. After meeting, we talked about the pros and cons about a skate park and a playground. I would try to make the citizens and elected officials live in peace in Happy Town. To do this, I would take them all to another city council meeting. After meeting, we talked about how more children could use the playground. Also about how not every child knows how to skate. Also, not every child can afford the equipment that you need to be safe, such as a skateboard, padding for your elbows and knees, and a helmet. After that, the citizens and city council understood. After the two city council meetings, still some citizens did not support the playground. So to hopefully get everybody to support the playground, I would ask my kids. I would say to them the things that I said in the second city council meeting. After I talked to the kids, they wanted a playground. So I went to the citizens and city council and told them what the kids wanted. So the So the city happily built a playground, and everybody in Happy Town is satisfied with it.
But well spoken, and I get a lot of requests to speak, so every now and then don't be surprised if I call you and ask you to fill in for me, all right? All
right? I'll vote for her.
Thank you so much. We're very proud of you. And this is amazing. I think this is the seventh or eighth winner from a school here in Brooklyn. And this is a statewide contest. Lily's winning entry will automatically be entered into the statewide, where I think there's seven districts. And we may hear more news, but we're extremely proud. And thank you so much for the time and for the very, very thoughtful effort that you made. Thank you.
And Mayor, I wanted to tell you that at the meeting Thursday night, the Eastern Shore Association of Municipalities wanted to invite Lindley and her parents to the dinner that's going to be at Fager's Island in June, and we'll send you the information. And that's when all the elected officials from this district will be there, but they wanted to recognize you all at the dinner.
Great, thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
Great job.
Mm-hmm. We're now going to have, as part of our budgeting process, actually, we do have a few selected nonprofit organizations that we've been fortunate enough in recent years to be able to make grants to. I have to say that we're very selective because the council tries to do our best to choose nonprofits that specifically not only help this community, but do things much more efficiently, much better, and are much more qualified to fill these needs than government does. So we feel that as a way of sort of supporting them and thanking them, we provide annual grants. And in return, we just ask that they come and make a presentation to kind of keep us up with all that's happening. And so this is an informal part of the budget process, but also a very rewarding one. So the first group we'd like to have up is the Cricket Center. And presenting is Wendy Pires.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First, I want to say thank you for allowing us a few minutes to talk about the Cricket Center today. I have spoken to you before, I know, but I want to make sure everyone knows that we're the Cricket Center, but we are the Worcester County Child Advocacy Center. And every county in the state of Maryland is mandated. Let me slide this over. Every county in the state of Maryland is mandated to investigate and prosecute child abuse cases, as we do here in Worcester with the Child Advocacy Center. Unfortunately, it's a non-funded mandate, so we do have to do a lot of fundraising and grant writing in order to investigate and prosecute child abuse in this way as a multidisciplinary team. So, are we ready to wrap? Okay. We're accredited by National Children's Alliance, and we are the only, or one of two, accredited child advocacy centers on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. Talbot County is the other accredited center. Since we opened our doors in 2009, we provided services to more than 625 children. Our partnering agencies are Atlantic General Hospital, Life Crisis, local law enforcement, including Berlin PD, Worcester County Department of Social Services, Worcester County Sheriff's Office, and the Worcester County State's Attorney's Office. And we investigate all these crimes with that multidisciplinary team. Before they turn 18, 1 in 5 boys experience some form of sexual abuse, and 1 in 3 girls experience some form of sexual abuse. And those are national statistics.
They're horrible.
They are, yes. Child sexual abuse is a crime of secrecy. Oftentimes, children do not disclose as children. Sometimes they disclose as adults, sometimes never. Immediate effects of abuse on children, the immediate psychological effects of child sexual abuse, isolation, fear, lack of trust, oftentimes spirals them into long-term problems, eating disorder, teen pregnancy, drug abuse. Studies have found that abused children are at least 25% more likely to experience problems in adolescence, like, you know, what I mentioned, drug use, teen pregnancy, low academic achievement, likelihood of violent crimes as adults. These are statistics from fiscal year 2014. 98 children were investigated. We provided services to 98 children during that time. Number of trauma hours provided, trauma therapy hours, 460 hours we provided during that period. Number of sex offenders identified, there were 37 during that period of time. Number of individuals arrested for producing and or distributing child pornography, there were 13 during that period. We actually partner with Worcester Sheriff's Office and the ICAC, Internet Crimes Against Children, to provide services for those children. During that period of time, the number of years of sentenced jail time for child sex offenders, 149 years during that period.
That was based on the 36 and the 13?
Depending on when, court sometimes lags behind. They don't follow court, you know, sadly, with our fiscal year. But so some of those may have overlapped. Some may still be waiting for trial that were investigated during that time.
But are you finding more times being?
Absolutely, absolutely. The services that we do provide, I'm going to go through. I was trying to go a little faster for you. So forensic interviewing by a trained forensic interviewer in a child-friendly location. We're right here in Berlin on the campus of Atlantic General Hospital.
Would you explain to them why it's so much important mm-hmm. to have the money for forensic interviews, because you're not
absolutely
offending that child?
Absolutely. It's really important to have one interview so we're not re-traumatizing the child by the system created to protect the child. One interview, it's very important to have one interview so the child's not re-traumatized by consistently talking to different people. We also provide medical exams by a sexual assault forensic examiner. We have a family advocate who advocates for child and family during the whole process, start to finish. We do provide, like we were talking about earlier, trauma-based therapy, and that's provided free of charge. We never bill insurance for any of the services that we provide or charge a fee. Everything is, we provide everything for free. Multidisciplinary team investigation. It's much more cost-effective to conduct one interview jointly rather than each individual agency conducting interviews on their own. And again, we provide those services to our community. So your financial support helps us to maintain our data tracking software, to provide after-hours therapy for victims and family, and of course to continue our staff training. And there's our website. I think everything is, oh, that's actually cut off a little bit, I'm noticing. It's thecricketcenter.com. I think it may have been on the next one. Oops. There we go. I think I stopped it.
It's 2009.
We opened our doors in 2009 on the campus of Atlantic General Hospital. Prior to that time, we did conduct all of the investigations with our multidisciplinary team, but we didn't have a location. So we would converge the team into two rooms at the Atlantic Health Center. But now that we have our own facility, we are able to bring children in, and the whole process begins there, and we do provide therapy right in-house as well for our kids. Also the exam.
It's very hard to measure, but do you think that awareness has increased in any measurable way about this problem locally?
Well, we certainly hope so. We do our part as far as doing community events, speaking to different civic organizations, church groups, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, whatever groups will listen to me, I try to talk to them about tangible ways to keep kids safe in our community. We also have, you know, quite a transient population, as you well know, and we are trying very hard to get the word out about ways to keep kids safe, you know, whether you're vacationing here or you know, a full-time resident. We did just have our annual Walk for Kids for Child Abuse Awareness Month on yesterday, and we actually exceeded our financial goal, and we did better than last year, and so as you know, that's always a plus. More folks, more funding came in, and so that funding will be used for staff training and direct services.
What are the numbers looking like when you started? Are they leveling in the county? Are they increasing the number of children? You know,
actually, nation. I'm sorry.
I'm just wondering what's going on in Worcester County. Because I know we have a large problem with this. Is it
absolutely
staying up and?
Our numbers have slightly decreased, as have the national average. And I say that with knowing that last month it had increased again compared to last year's numbers in April or in March. But for the first part of the year, our numbers were down slightly. But for the year, we're about the same.
Now, how does CASA tie in with you? Are you the ones that refer these?
CASA actually doesn't partner with us. They're court-appointed special attorneys. If a child should need an attorney, then they would step in. But they're not actually one of our partnering agencies.
I'm just trying to put it all
right,
together.
Right.
How many folks do you have on staff in your group?
And actually housed in the center, we have five child protective service workers and their supervisor from the Department of Social Services. We also have one sheriff, Worcester County Sheriff, that's housed with us, myself, an administrative assistant, and then, of course, the other agencies that we partner with. For example, if MSP would need to come in on a case, they would, you know, we partner with them, so they would come in to the center to conduct the investigation.
So your funds are drawn directly from donations and from partnerships with municipalities?
That's correct. Yes, fundraising, grant funding,
and grants.
And the Department of Social Services pays for their employees that are in your office there.
That's correct. They pay salaries and a portion of the overhead. Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for taking this field. This is a hard field to be in. Nobody wants to talk about it.
That's exactly right.
And thank you. You're very well needed, all of your department.
Thank you for making the presentation. And again, we hope that over time this will be something that people will more openly talk about it, because I, you know, believe, but can't prove, but I believe that it's, like a lot of other things we've seen in our lifetime, the more you talk about a problem openly and without intimidation, the more likely it is that you'll actually make some real progress.
Absolutely.
high on the list of things we'd like to see diminished significantly. Thank you.
I agree. Thank you so much.
I'd like your card if you have one.
Absolutely. My information is actually in your packet. Yes, sir.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Next, we have a representative from the Woodford Developmental Center.
Another chat. 115 minutes.
We'll work it whatever way we can.
Just introduce yourself to everybody.
Sure. Good evening, Mayor Williams, town council members. I'm Jack Ferry, the executive director of the Worcester County Developmental Center, and thank you very much for having us here tonight to talk about my favorite subject and the best people in the world, and that's our clients who are adults who live with an intellectual disability. I have a couple slides to show you their lovely faces and some of the things that we do at our facility in Newark, Maryland, and there we are. And that is our mission, and do I just hit? Press to go forward?
Right-hand arrow.
Right-hand arrow, okay. I control the horizontal and the vertical. All righty. Down at our facility, at Worcester County Developmental Center, we provide employment opportunities, residential services, day habilitation training, and community-based individual supports for adults who live with an intellectual disability. This is a shot of two of our clients, both of whom live in Berlin, and they are doing, it's going by itself. All righty. Well, that's Phyllis. Phyllis has been with us for 42 years. Phyllis's mother is one of the people who started our agency. And you can see some of the contract work that they're doing. Everybody in our facility is getting paid for the work that they're doing. Our job is to try to enable our clients to achieve their highest level of economic and social independence. Here's another crew. And again, you see Brandon on the left there. It's our job to figure out what our clients can do to use, to get them, to enable them to use their talents and their abilities. And there he is helping our janitorial crew. He's taking out some of the newspapers, and also he'll transport chemicals to them. This is our day habilitation area. This is some of our lower skilled clients, and they're working on sensory stimulation, skills of daily living, and things like that. Nice and bright area. Those are the Twin Towers. That's Dante and Troy. That's right. And they are in our food service and catering program, and that is at our golf tournament last year, which, by the way, is coming up on June 16th. That's Elder Banks. I keep that in here as a memorial. Elder is no longer with us, but was a great resource and a wonderful, wonderful individual at our program. There's some of the clients tending the garden. There's something really nice, basic, and elemental about working in the garden and working with the dirt. And the stuff that they grew, we also then served at our lunches in the center for our clients. Another shot of them enjoying that. And there's another picture of our client. This is where they were helping at Liquid Assets one time. And they had the staff from Liquid Assets working alongside with them. This is our laundry program. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a moment. More photos of our greenhouse. There's Dante again, makes the best grilled cheese sandwiches in the world. Our janitorial crew, it's nice, the equipment that we have to train on. That particular young man has muscular disorder, but what he can do is when he uses that machine, he can do the floors. Without that machine, he can't do it, but with that, he can. And again, that's what our job is. There's Bruce, loves going out, working on our lawn crew. We do that in the community. If anybody needs their lawn taken care of, we can do that. And David working the buffer. Charlene again in food service. We're very fortunate to have an auxiliary, the Friends of WCDC, and one of the things that they do in their support of us, they come up every month and celebrate birthdays with our clients. It's not all work. We like to have some fun too. Like to have some good times. As you can see, look at the smile on Aaron's face. You know, nothing better than that. And Brandon's face. And the gentleman behind him, Logan, he lives right up the street here in Berlin. And we can dance. We can move. Karen on the right lives up in Upshur, not too far away. Get some of our guys dancing in our center. You know, as I said, we don't know, it's not only work, it's also some fun too. Okay, and we're coming back to the beginning.
We got to give you pictures. A couple of your folks come up to all of our events and volunteer for the town, and we got to get some pictures for your slideshow of them working at the events.
Yes, we do. Absolutely. In fact, Mike Wiley just sent an email a week or so ago of one of our clients who had volunteered at the spring celebration, and they're here quite often helping out in the town. We're very fortunate. Berlin has always been very welcoming to us, like asking us to be involved, not just allowing us to become involved, and it's wonderful. The main thing that we're doing at our center is employment. Again, we believe in that. Economic independence comes before the social independence. The grant that we received last year went towards helping us purchase equipment and supplies to enable our clients to earn that paycheck. We've been around for 42 years. In 2007, our facility burnt down. We rebuilt in the same site, and we can offer a lot more opportunities now. When we moved in January of 2011, our payroll, our client payroll, this is what the clients are earning, was less than $25,000. Last year it was $72,000. This year we're going to break six figures. We're on the track to make over $100,000. That's money that the clients are earning that they're spending in the community. They're paying their rent, they're going out for dinner, they're going down to the Food Lion. So it's money that coming in but is going right back out again. And we're very grateful for that. We are expanding our laundry right now. Last year we doubled our business. Our projections are to double our business once again. We're hopeful within the next year or two we will be doubling it to the point where we're going to have to move out of our present facility. And our goal is to hopefully have a facility in the Berlin area. We thank you very much. We know that you have a lot of demands upon you. We're very honored that you considered our cause worthy of your support last year, and hopeful that you will again this year.
I do have a question. First of all, thank you for your presentation and helping people understand better the important role we've been playing now for four decades, and it seems to be having more and more impact for more people than ever. I remember we all approved the letter that I wanted to see how that worked out, where there was a movement to not allow people with disabilities to actually work in the facility.
That's correct, and we're still in the middle of that. Thank you very much for your support writing that letter, and I'm probably going to be coming back to you shortly to do that again.
I want you to let me know who in the hell is behind that crazy guy. Not this right now.
Yeah, right.
But call me. It's one of the most ludicrous things. I mean, let's face it. In the greater scheme of things, every level of government does something screwy once in a while, right? Just to keep everybody interested. But that is...
It's
just
ludicrous. Well, they are citizens. They have a right to work too, Jay.
Huh?
They're citizens. They have a right to
work.
That's right.
Of course they do. And so that you'll just keep us in the loop.
Absolutely.
Let us know what's happening with that. And I'd really like to know what the hell they're thinking. Okay?
Yes.
You can let me, because maybe they didn't need, maybe they just need to relax and join the real world.
And allow our people.
All people are important. See,
that's
another thing that's is a difference in living in rural communities. You actually get to know all, if you want to, if you try to, you can get to know almost everyone in your community. Mm-hmm. And you find good people will come in all sizes, shapes, and different levels of development. So, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
We have a great facility. In fact, I was invited by a person on this city council and had his wife's birthday party there. Mm-hmm. It was really nice, really nice facility. And at the American Legion every year, we invite all the kids to come, and you have the greatest dancers.
They do.
They love to dance.
I'm still trying to learn the running man from them.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks, Jeff. And I want to mention, I think it was Councilmember Burrell that first suggested that we make us a nation.
Yes.
Thank you. Next, we have...
Just to mention, we have two board members from the Burrell Center in attendance tonight. We have the chairperson, Edry, and we have Belinda Williams, who is a board member.
Thank you both for being here. Thank you. You did well.
I did. I know better.
Is next, we'd like to have Stephen Taylor from the Worcester Youth and Family Counseling come forward and Maria. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Well, thank you. Well, first of all, thanks for having us tonight. It's our honor to be here. And congratulations on the coolest party. It was very cool. And the flash mob went off very well. Laura, thank you for the thank you note. That was very thoughtful of you. Thank you. Great job with that. Those of you that missed it missed something very special. So make sure you're there the next time. I'm here tonight to speak about the Berlin Youth Club. That's a program within Worcester Youth and Family Counseling Services. And as you may know, Melanie is expecting a baby any day, so within a week or so for sure. And so this summer, she is not going to be working with the Berlin Youth Club. And so I brought Maria Cusumano with me, who is going to be running the Berlin Youth Club this summer. And so she worked with Melanie last summer and learned the ropes and has been working with Worcester Youth and Family ever since. And so she understands the organization, understands the Berlin Youth Club, understands the purpose behind it, and she's going to be a great leader for the program this summer. And so she's been working on the plans and activities for the summer, and she's going to provide the presentation to you on that. So should you have any questions for me afterwards, I'll certainly be here for that, but I'm going to turn it over to Maria for now.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi. All right. We went to the Berlin Head Start across the highway and put on an Easter egg hunt for them. We've done that the past few years, and they always get a good kick out of it. Here's some other spring activities we did. We went with the mayor to Eastern Shore Kettle Corn a few weeks ago, which was great. And like he said, we also participated in the Berlin's Coolest Small Town Parade, Party, and Flash Mob, which was great.
I don't remember getting any kettle corn.
It was good. here's some pictures from those events. Here's some summer activities that we have planned. We are partnering with the Berlin Police Department. They would like to sponsor an event with us and I believe take some officers with them, which should be a lot of fun. I think the kids will enjoy that. We also plan to do yoga on the beach with Chrissy from Zena again, and lots of other things. here's some pictures from last summer's events, trips to Assateague and the Salisbury Zoo. Here's some new summer projects that I have planned. We want to do a Worcester County town project where I take them to a different town every other week probably. You know, Furnace Town, Pocomoke, places that they might not get to go to very often. I also want to do a journal project with them, just where they keep a journal through the summer. They can write down anything they want to, you know, what we did that day, what their feelings are about that, what they would like to do in the future, anything and everything. And then our service projects that we always like to do. We've worked with Women Supporting Women before, making scarves and care packages. We've written letters to troops overseas, which we plan to do again. And I've also been in touch with the Humane Society to maybe take the kids over there and get to play with the animals and help with that. Here's some pictures. Azaria with her letter to the troops, and Lotus and Marlo making dog toys for the Humane Society. Just some benefits of the Berlin Youth Club. We strive to help children value their community. We introduce them to communities that they might not have visited before, like I said, in the town project that I would like to start. And our goal is for the children to learn and appreciate what these communities have to offer. We strive to offer meaningful cultural and educational wellness experiences, introduce them to historic sites and local traditions and heritage, arts and crafts, instructions, the journal project, yoga, healthy eating, Each child is encouraged to realize their full potential as productive, responsible, caring citizens. We try to build their self-esteem and foster creativity and promote teamwork. And our community service projects try to teach them to give back to those in need.
I think we're very impressed with that. Something that, because of all, I don't know exactly when, but I've told several people about the fact that here we have kids who are learning about life, and one of the things they've immediately done is embraced giving back to the community. Mm-hmm. And that's something I don't think, you know, once in a while there's a person who's born with that instinct, but I really think it's learned. Mm-hmm. And something where these young people, they're going to be a great inspiration for so many peers and for other children as they age.
Right.
And I just think that's a great way, among many other ways, that these children are being given the opportunity to really develop.
Yeah.
And and find out all that they can do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I tell you, they're always so nice. I have to mention, went down to the kettle farm,
mm-hmm.
and naturally the kettle farm visit was popular, very popular. It was a big surprise. What did surprise, I told him, I said, please, if you see me, say hi. Just say hi, Mayor. I don't expect to remember my name. And sure enough, when we had the Columbus Day celebration, I had at least four different kids. And thank goodness I can remember them. Got that over. But it was neat that
Good.
He followed up and he felt very comfortable in it.
Right.
And you know, it's again, I hope that we'll find out, because it's not just up to us, but it's up to all of us,
mm-hmm.
that we can make sure that people in Berlin understand that there are no unimportant people.
Yep.
Everybody has something to contribute.
Yep, definitely. Thank you. Yep. Our ultimate goal is to provide activities that nurture their talents by focusing on their interests, promote expression of personality, develop lasting friendships, build self-esteem, dissolve prejudice, achieve personal success, and contribute to society. Sorry.
I won't throw that. I'll
And these are some demographics. These are the same demographics as last year. We'll start fresh again at the beginning of the summer once we start the summer program.
How many children did you service in the youth camp last summer?
I don't know the exact number.
It's growing every year.
Throughout the year, in 2014, we touched 85.
Great.
Yeah.
We're hoping to get 85 the first year. It's really expanded. You're doing more programs, doing more things too.
Yeah.
More members of the community are reaching out.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yep. I think so. I think that's it.
That one was super fancy.
Oh, sorry.
Is it a red shirt? You in a red shirt?
Helen, yeah.
Yeah.
Helen is very involved in everything, including Worcester Youth and Family.
Yeah,
so she's a great asset to the community.
Thank you.
And, you know, as Maria was saying, a lot of these kids, you'd be surprised, they've never been to Assateague, never been to Snow Hill, certainly not Pocomoke. So exposing these kids to these different communities is, you know, introducing our culture, our history, who we are. You know, Pocomoke was a very different place 100 years ago, and these kids have no idea. And so taking them to these places and exposing them to things that are interesting and educational are just as important as the shorebirds or the bowling or the movies. So, you know, it's just a great, great program. Very successful. And they do learn to become civic-minded because of the things that we introduce to them, and also because they learn well from one another. So if there's just one kid in the group that's civic-minded or responds well to that, they all do. So that peer learning opportunity is really vital in this program.
And I like that they're learning to swim at Shad Landing, because I think
right.
it's very important where we live, and they know how to swim, and that's a great, great need that's being serviced.
Yeah, there's a lot of water around, in case you didn't know that.
Yeah. But you'd be surprised if people don't know how to swim.
Oh, I know.
They live here, and it's important.
I know.
The earlier they learn, the better.
The better.
Easier it is. Yes.
Right.
Excellent. Does anyone have any questions for Steve or Maria?
Great job.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So happy to be a partner and been working for many years. Maria, hopefully we'll see you around soon.
I'm sure you will. Thank you.
All right. Now, item number four of the agenda. We have an application for yoga in the park. That's Emily Keene.
Yes, that's me.
All right.
Mayor Williams and council members, thank you so much for letting me speak today. I don't have a presentation, but maybe next year when I try to get it approved again, I'll have some good pictures from this year. My whole idea behind the yoga in the park, I recently moved back to the area from Cleveland, Ohio. There's a very large community yoga movement happening there, and I've seen the benefits that it had on the Cleveland community, and I'd like to bring a similar aspect here. I want it to be donation-based mostly so it can be self-sustaining. I'd like to be able to provide yoga mats for people who want to come, and a portion of any donations would be donated to local teachers that they can use for school supplies, or if there's any other things going on in the community that you think the money would be better used for, I'm open to any suggestions. I teach all over the Ocean City area. I'm in a lot of studios, and I think it'd be a good opportunity to bring people from outside of Berlin into the community, as well as bringing people in the Berlin community together. Could be good for local businesses if anyone wants to go to a coffee shop after the yoga class or something like that. I do teach at Zena, so I'm working on this with Chrissy as well. So I'm hoping that, you know, it could get approved. I know that there is an issue with money exchange in the park. I don't really know how that works, but mostly it would be so that the program itself could be self-sustaining and I wouldn't be putting all of my resources into it. Being a yoga teacher, you don't make a lot doing that, so it's hard to do everything for free all the time. So that's the idea behind the donations. And just the benefits of yoga are expansive. I could go on for hours on the benefits. I've personally experienced them, and as a teacher, seeing how it has changed people's lives, I want to carry that out as much as possible.
Does anyone have any questions for Emily or Christine?
So you are proposing to utilize the funds obtained to support the program, and you said the other would be donated to teachers in the community or other community?
Yes. So part of it would be to have it self-sustained, and then I would have part of the money go to local teachers so they can use it for school supplies. I know a lot of teachers usually fund their own supplies for their classroom, so I figured that would be a good use of the money. I would want to host it every Sunday. The goal was to have it start this Sunday, the 3rd. I don't know if the weather is really there yet.
Once a week is what you're planning?
Yes, every Sunday. So potentially there would be 5 in the month of May, 5 in the month of August, and then 4 the other summer months.
What about the time?
You would time.
Well, I have some signatures here of people who are interested, and I had people select a time that they prefer, and the general consensus is 6 p.m.
What location?
In Stephen Decatur Park.
In the oval. Right in the oval around the track. On the inside of the track, right to the right of the tennis courts. Right directly behind the children's playground. So that big, open, beautiful green area. Behind the pavilion, which is something that we'd always have to keep in mind, because if anyone's renting the pavilion, obviously we would have to think about moving a time or moving the location, possibly across the street in the big green area there. I know Tom would be. May I add, I do a lot of free yoga at St. Paul's, at Red Doors. I do it at Assateague. I do it for Worcester Youth, yes. And yes, because you came. And I have to share with you guys how amazing it is to see children, adults, coming to my classes. I've been doing community classes for over 3 years now in different places. And to see them grow not just in their poses and in their strength, but in their spirit. And to see different people, yoga should be really exposed to people every day, all the time, whenever they want to learn about it or be a part of a community. And just the, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to ask, you guys doing it as a team?
Yes, we would be working together. I would sub, of course, for her as well, flip-flopping.
So I would be teaching the classes. I have liability insurance. I'm certified as a yoga instructor, CPR certified, the whole nine, and I can provide all of the documents for the proof of that as well. And also a side note, I worked with an organization in Cleveland called ZenWorks. We brought yoga to inner city schools to help children. And the yoga in the park would be open to anyone and everyone, so kids, adults, older, younger, it doesn't matter. My goal personally is to expose yoga to all walks of life because I think it benefits everyone. Even if you're handicapped, if you can sit, close your eyes, and take a couple deep breaths, you're doing yoga. So that's my idea.
the 300-pound gorilla sitting in the room, and I might as well be the one that deals with it, is we have always been trying to be very diligent, because I think the idea is great, right? But we've also tried to be very fair in making sure that any of our public facilities, and the parks are where we get most of the requests, that when those permissions are granted, that they're either associated or sponsored with a 501c3, nonprofit, or a church. Just happens to be that's where most of the requests come. I think that the spot that we're in, because the Rex Department, Parks and Recs committee, they want to see the parks used more and more. They have certainly done more to do that than any group we've ever had. Have you considered being able to at least being sponsored? We have so many, this area has more charitable organizations than anywhere in the state per capita. I mean, it's phenomenal. It would make our job easier and make it more fair to apply the same standards to everyone. You could find because let's face it, it's not any personal doubt about your enthusiasm, your integrity, your reputation, any of that. But it is a public facility that's publicly maintained with public dollars. So what we've been doing is trying to make sure that those facilities are used when it's an organized event where for fees are charged. If it's free, it's free. Right? But for fees are charged, that we can be sure that that we're applying the same standard. And what I would, again, the council chime in, because I figure, some things are fun, and this is not particularly fun, but I think it's necessary. I think you wouldn't have much trouble at all finding a very well-known, well-established nonprofit to be your sponsor, because we have turned down some groups. Some basically they had wonderful spirit, but there was no organized church. And it was a few people who got together and shared their joy for living and their gratefulness to be believers and so forth. But they eventually found a church that would sponsor them, and then they were able to do that. That would be my concern. It's not about you, but it's about setting a precedent, because we have to, as best we can, knowing that there's always special circumstances, the world's not a perfect place, and we do try to apply equal standards as fairly as possible. Do you think that's something you could consider? What is, I don't even know if you can follow that.
Can I ask a question? Hope Steve doesn't get mad at me, but you're already giving free lessons to the Worcester Youth Camp. You're part of their summer program of yoga. Maybe you and Worcester Youth could partner. They could be your nonprofit, and you could take the money that you were talking about instead of giving it to the schools. You could donate it to the youth and family services. I mean, that conversation should happen, you know?
Not to give you an influence, but I think it's a wonderful idea.
I don't want to shut you down, but, you know, no. It is a public park, and I'm just saying I don't think it's that big of an issue if, you know, you guys just got together. They could use the money, right, Steve? Oh,
yeah. and quite frankly, it's again the idea of the community working together, and that our job is to provide the foundation, and then for the community to provide all of the different things to make the quality of life better for people here now and in the future. And I just want to be fair about it.
Yeah.
But I think it's a wonderful idea. I think if you, my suggestion, again, it's just a suggestion, is that you all go sit down and have a Coke together or whatever and talk about it and then get back on the agenda if you agree. And if you all go work out, but that's what I do. I come in with a sponsor because then, at least my impression is you meet all the requirements and you have a very positive experience that we wouldn't be making an exception to, because how do we say, I don't want to be in a position as a mayor, I don't think council, to say, oh, you can do this and you can. Apply the same standard, then it's just a matter of, is it a good activity for the community and beneficial? So do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah. So tweak a couple things and talk to Steve. Done deal.
Is there a table there?
All right. Hey, thank you.
Yeah, really, thank you. I think it's a great idea. Go have that Coke. Or Sprite, or whatever's in that means. And see if you can get back on the next agenda.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
And next is number 5 on the agenda is approval of a special event, Touch a Truck, May 30th, which I believe is a Saturday. Okay.
Tom's favorite event.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you're
as long as we fire them up.
Twice as many people.
You got my
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm sure y'all know who I am. I'm the electric director for the town of Berlin. I'm here tonight to ask for approval for the second annual Touch a Truck event to be held on Saturday, May 30th, 2015, from 10 o'clock a.m. till 12 noon. I've actually talked to the police department and the fire department both, and they've offered to be part of the event again. So is the water department, sewer department, public works, and the electric department. We're going to have a Digger Derrick truck there, the trencher, bucket truck, and Jane's going to have the flush truck, camera truck, I think one of the garbage trucks. Truck's going to be there also.
We got your little town. That was cool.
Yep, the Power Town display. I'm actually talked to the people I used to work for, and they're going to let us use it again this year. On top of that, it turned out to be a really good event last year. A lot of people showed up for it. The kids had a good time, and I hope that it'll be just as good this year.
And your hours are 10 to 12, right?
10 to 12,
so
yes.
It's very... I thought that was very wise because I've seen some events that are very good, but they're so spread out.
Yeah, last year it was 4 hours long, and it just seemed at the end there it was a little too long, so we reduced it down to 2 hours. Also, I don't know if the rain day has been changed on yours, but the rain day is going to be on June 20th.
Oh, June 20th.
Yeah. Yes. Am I correct
I think
about that, Laura?
That's smart to do a rain date right up ahead, you know, to plan an event like this and then... Rain and not have a prior date set.
Absolutely, agree.
Yeah, we originally had it for June 13th, and then I realized that was the Ocean City Air Show, and I figured I better change that.
So I'd like to move to approve this event.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the Touch a Truck Day. for Saturday, May 30th from 10 a.m. to noon. With the understanding that if you've got a big crowd and you need a little extra time, just use your best judgment.
Okay. Thank you.
Don't feel like you got to let certain council members fire some things up.
Sure.
Yeah. No.
All right.
And if any certain council members get stuck up in the truck,
I used to operate 100-foot
tower. Oh, it's not a problem.
Okay.
We'll gather a donation to leave it up there.
Okay.
Thank you. I think it's a great idea, and I tell you, one thing I really thought of so many. Yep. So many people of all ages, what I call the kids of all ages, really got a kick out.
Do you need a motion?
The motion does include
the banner.
The banner, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, the banners? Yes.
Okay. All in favor?
Absolutely.
All opposed?
Okay. Thank you.
Looking forward to it.
That truck that
suffered. That's right. That's right.
I just don't want to be anywhere around when you got that going.
Thank you, Tim.
We're also ordering coloring books for the electric utility and the crayons, as well as the wastewater treatment plants, so we'll get handouts for the kids.
Good.
That's the truck. It's entertaining and education.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Let's hope we have nice weather. Number six is a motion to approve the PJM, or Pennsylvania, Jersey, Maryland Risk Management Policy, which is the folks that is what we commonly call the grid.
Correct.
From which all your electricity, or not all, but most of your electricity comes through the PJM grid.
I just have a brief report. I prepared a short memo. Every year, as a PJM member, we have to recertify the risk management policy. There were some slight changes made to it this year because of the way that we're working with AMP in purchasing power. We're going to be using financial transmission rights. So the policy you have in front of you reflects that slight change in policy as well as the procedure and control. I did have the AMP folks take a look at it, and they're comfortable with it. Jill Barker, who's our electric utility attorney, recommends that we look at the policy and restate it every year, as well as confirm that the council authorizes the town administrator to represent the town in hearings before the Maryland Public Service Commission and to take actions there on its behalf related to the proceedings. Then in December, when I go up to the Public Service Commission, I can take the resolution if there's any questions regarding that.
I think it's because this has been our practice. At least I can, as far back as I remember, is Tony, when he was doing that, and then Laura has been doing that since she's been here. So I think having it in writing only makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It just makes it clearer for everybody.
Anybody has any more questions? Move to approve? Motion to approve?
Yeah, move to approve.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the PJM risk management policy as proposed by the town administrator. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Thank you.
Passes unanimously. Thank you. Next is number seven is a motion to approve the Town of Berlin's 2016-2018 strategic plan. This is the plan that was the result of the multiple strategic planning sessions that we had back in, I guess it started internally as early as January, but primarily we're in February and early March. And has everyone had a chance to look through the report? And I think we got some impact. Has anybody got any questions about it? And this obviously is available to the public. And
we'll be distributing it to everybody who attended the meetings and posting it on our website as well.
Okay. And obviously give copies to the press.
Absolutely.
Just make it easy.
Sure.
Okay. Very good. Does anyone have any questions or corrections or amendments?
No, I'd like to make a motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve
the strategic plan for 2016 through 2018.
We have a motion to approve the 2016-2018 three-year strategic plan for the town of Berlin. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, it passes unanimously. And I have to say, having never done anything like that before, it was a very rewarding experience. And we won't have to do it tomorrow, but it has the results that we are all hopeful for. from time to time we'll update the strategic plan by involving the public, just as we did with the original. And it also helps to give us guidance in determining what's on first. You know, there's so many good things, and it was nice to have the public's guidance as to what is most important to the people we serve. Okay, next is our departmental reports. First, Finance Director Natalie Sicilay.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I don't have much, except we are working on budget, so budget and budget more. We
also
also going over our general ledger and utility accounts, pretty much heavily getting ready or hoping to get soon converted to new software. Tyler Technology is still working on our agreement and some legal wording in the contract. So the minute we hear and have a green light, we're kind of going to have a plan to how and where and when we're going to start converting the data from our software. So to be ready for that, we pretty much clean in the ledger, looking at the accounts, the amounts, and etc.
So as it stands today, you don't have anything that we could review related to the implementation plan. It's just
correct.
After we get a contract, then you will.
I'll have more details, dates, and or projected dates of implementation. But for right now, they're still working on it.
I have a question about how's the new phone system working out? You all getting adjusted to it?
Yes, we do, and we do like it. The police department is still in progress, not converted completely. They're still working, but as a town hall and overall, the customer service is a huge improvement. The touch screen and the information the phone giving us with the details, who's calling, uh-huh. placing phone calls on hold and transferring, I think overall it's 100% improvement.
There still are some outstanding issues that Tim's working through with the vendor.
But not anything you don't think
will be able to work through.
Good. So it's a work in progress.
Of course. As everything new comes to play, it needs some attention.
Good. But overall, you're pleased where you are and think it was the right move. That basically right.
Good.
Thank you. Next is Administrative Services Director Mary Baldwin.
The only thing really that I had this week is that the movie in the park that was scheduled for this past Saturday in Henry Park, because of the rain, obviously they had to cancel that event, but they have rescheduled it for May 9th.
That's Saturday night, right?
Yes.
May 9th?
Yes.
And what time does that start?
At dark, which the time they listed on the application was 7 to 9:30, but obviously that'll fluctuate a little bit. And then the one that follows that is on the 30th in Stephen Decatur Park, and then I've gone blank on the June date. I'm sorry, that's downtown.
That's okay. Excellent. All right. Thank you very much. And next is Water Resources and Public Works Director Jane Kreider.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm happy to finally report that the Triple E Street sidewalks have started. They're pouring concrete tomorrow.
You're out of the doghouse.
They hope to be completed within the next 2 weeks. They're going to dedicate a good portion of their time to get it done and over with, since it's taken so long to get to this point. Also, the bleacher pads at Henry Park have been poured for the new bleachers that will be installed within the next month. They had to, they're being built.
They couldn't order the bleachers to go into production until they knew they had a place to put them.
Okay.
So now that the pads are in place, they've ordered them into production. It should
so you're basically
be
thinking by the early June, that kind of is that?
May, I think, is what they said, about 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay,
so,
great. Excellent.
Looks like we'll be going out for bid, working out some final details with the Brand Street sidewalks, but we should be going out for bid for those in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Awesome. Excellent.
And, awarding a bid 2 weeks after that. So That's good news. We are reading meters this week, so if you see our guys around your yard, that's what they're doing. We had some Stephen Decatur Middle School students helping at Stephen Decatur Park last week. That was always nice to have their assistance. Next week, Water Resources will have their yearly conference in Ocean City, which is hosted by Maryland Rural Water Association. Several of us attend that at various times during the week. We appreciate you letting us go first at the budget hearing so we can hurry back over there and attend the nighttime awards
thing. Thank you, too.
And just a reminder, next Wednesday, there will be bulk pickup, household bulk pickup for Tuesday and Wednesday trash, normal trash pickup people. The other will be May 20th for the Thursday trash. If your trash is usually picked up on Thursday, your bulk pickup is May 20th. If your trash is usually picked up on Tuesday and Wednesday, your bulk pickup will be Wednesday the 6th, next Wednesday. And again, that's household items, couches, old stoves, that sort of thing. We do not take paint, chemicals, anything that can be construed as harmful, hazardous, anything like that.
And, and this is Jane or Mary, either one. I'm sure it goes on our TV system. Does it also go on our website?
Yes, it goes on the website.
It goes on the electric bill, too.
We actually, at the beginning of the year, sent out a list of all of the changes or additions to the trash collection schedule according to holidays, special collections, all that kind of thing. So every utility has to have outline. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great. Excellent.
Ask the newspapers to please print this because the county is getting very expensive take your trash down there, and I'd rather we pick it up than see it in a field or a woods or whatever.
Or a ditch.
And yeah, take advantage of that. I am.
And we offer this twice a year, yard collection and bulk collection in spring and fall.
Jane, now that you have permission from the church to do the proper name for it is...
Submerged gravel wetlands.
Okay.
Yep.
Wetland.
Yes.
When is that going to start?
Well, that will be part of the sidewalk contract. So when it goes out for bid, that'll be in with that. We haven't had a full discussion as to whether or not town staff will be performing that. We did put one in on Flower Street. It was our first attempt. Depending on what the costs come in, we'll decide whether or not town staff can do it. This one's going to be a little bit different. We want to make sure that it's a showpiece. So
yes.
We want to make sure that
it's very visible.
Yes, it certainly is. So we want to make sure. So we'll have that discussion when the bids come in, whether or not it'll be the contractor who does it or town staff.
Yeah, it's going to be very important that once we get it in place, that we maintain it.
Absolutely.
Because I have been told by
told.
Church people
wife.
That our town staff hasn't taken care of things before, you know, in the past because of the ditches and all that. But we're improving. We're getting better.
But they supported our stormwater utility, which now gives us the ability to do that, thank goodness.
Yeah, we still got to satisfy those people on Shell Street.
Jake, is this where they're going in storm water, doing these submerged wetlands versus a pond?
Ponds are a thing of the past. Now it's the technical term is environmental site design to the maximum extent practicable. In the stormwater world, it's ESD to the MEP. It is what is the most practicable that you can do on a certain piece of property. But yes, it's very, it's the new horizon. It's the new wave. They've gone to the limits of technology with point source pollutants. Now it's the non-point source pollutants that they're focusing on. Mm-hmm. And that's stormwater, especially here on the shore.
Absolutely.
Where we have all the waterways, coastal and Chesapeake Bay.
And part of it, I think, too, is like Elroy was saying, you know, they put these stormwater ponds in, but how are we maintaining? You know, the silt, they fill back in. Right. And so this is the wave of the future, that submerged gravel.
Well, it's not just that, but that's one of the ones that are, there's a one that we're looking into for the Flower Street stormwater retrofit would include increasing the size of the culvert underneath Flower Street, but also further back in the big open field back there, a offline wetland, which is different. It's not submerged. It, but the submerged doesn't typically hold water where you can see it. And that's what they're trying to get away from.
And it filters too,
and it
right?
filters it. Yeah, the plants filter it and so forth, but there's not standing water. And that's what more people are preferring because it doesn't encourage a lot of
mosquitoes,
and other animals, and
right.
You know, visitors.
Visitors. I think the one that the staff did on Flower Street, it looks okay, but it's lacking some landscaping.
Beautification.
Can't make them easy.
Yes,
we always got that Parks Committee. They're always looking for a place to be fine.
See, I've ordered a whole, about 1,000 more plants to put in there. Of course, they're just 2-inch plugs. They're tiny plants, but eventually they will grow up. And that is, we're having a group from Aztec come in and help us on May 6th.
The Coastal Kids.
Yeah, the Coastal Kids are coming to help us there. So that should... look nicer in the near future.
So
West Street looks nice, and that's what we're hoping to have.
So we're still on schedule to have Branch Street sidewalk completed this fiscal year.
Yes.
Weather
barring
pending.
Any things that have happened with the Tripoli sidewalks, but yes.
And weather.
I'd like to also thank Chief Downing for being a liaison for the town and for water resources and working with the congregation and leadership of St. Paul's United Methodist Church. And I understand their concerns and all that, but quite frankly, there is a lot of support throughout the neighborhood, as there is at all the other parts of town. But I'll never forget the fact that when we the last meeting we had in the East Berlin neighborhood was, the last question he asked me is, when are you going to get this done? We want it done now. So it's kind of one of those things where now I'm pleased that we're able to get, you know, we've been able to get some things started. And I think that it's certainly the intent and desire and commitment of Jane and her folks, the administration and the mayor and council, to make it a showpiece. And to show people, just as we did with West Street, a lot of people, once they saw what it was, the myths went away. And reality sunk in, which was, this is a good thing. And I think that's our intent here. And Chief, I just want to thank you for the, I'll call it shuttle diplomacy.
Well, you're quite welcome. And again, the Board of Trustees, one of the consensus, themes was being a good neighbor, and again, we can't expect government to do all things without us, or you know, being a partner, and not only a partner, but a willing participant of the process. So again, they see the value of the sidewalks, the safety of our children, and the opportunity to be a good neighbor.
Good.
Thank you.
It's wonderful. It's one of the reasons we all live here, right? Thank you. All righty. Let's see. We now have guess we're right now to the chief.
Tim,
you've already talked.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'll keep it short tonight. We've been working on some maintenance things that we need to do. One is installing these squirrel protectors on switches and poles to keep the squirrels from knocking the power out, plus also letting them know not to mess with the power before the end, something bad happens. Also, we ended up replacing, we had a small scheduled outage over Quillen Drive and Esham Avenue area. We had to replace a rotten utility pole there where it goes from overhead to underground. So we ended up replacing the pole there, and we've been working on tree trimming. We're out of town getting ready for the spring and summer storms. And then the big thing we've been doing is ordering all the material for Cannery Village. I don't know if you've been by there lately. I'm sure Councilman Brenningham has been, he lives right across the street from it.
I hear the noise.
Yeah, they've cut a large area of the trees out. They're starting to clear the land for the development. So we've started ordering all the transformers, the wire, the street lights, all that stuff to get ready for it. We're supposed to have a construction meeting out there within the next week or so. They want to have the meeting once they get their construction trailer in there, and then they're going to have a meeting with all the utilities, Public Works, Water, Electric, discuss how we're going to do the job. Also, I contacted Comcast to talk to them about the installation of their service wires. And what we decided to do is we're going to go in what's called joint trenching. We're going to go in together. Instead of having two different utility companies working side by side digging two separate trenches, we're going to go in together. So there's only going to be one trench. As far as Verizon, we're not sure what they're going to do. We haven't heard back from them. So I'm not sure what they're going to do there. And this week we're doing a demand reads and meter reading this week.
Excellent. That's great. Mm-hmm. Great news.
Thank you.
Now, Chief Dowd.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. First of all, like I said, we had three great presenters this evening. I've had the pleasure of getting to work with all three organizations over the past two decades. And again, each organization, we could definitely see in the presentations themselves of their family, friends, and neighbors who have actually been impacted. So I say thank you very much for giving me the time and the opportunity to do the presentations today. The Heritage Festival and the wedding went well, noting the weather. That was a maiden voyage for the Heritage Festival. I think the weather kind of put things askew, but again, we still had a nice crowd noting the weather. On a somber note, we have to know the things that are going on in Baltimore City right now. We've actually gotten a telephone call from Baltimore City and MEMA in regards to activating, all the emergency contingencies and the request of all local law enforcement through the state of Maryland to go ahead and give assistance if possible. We've made contact with the Sheriff's Office and Pocomoke City already, and we're going to have discussions with them over the evening and tomorrow morning just to see, again, if we're going to be needed and if we're going to be available to go ahead and provide assistance. Currently, as we speak, we do have one officer there at Central Booking. He was there for a training session, and we're praying and hoping for his safe return as the evening goes through. Again, it is a serious time in Baltimore City, and our hopes and prayers are with all the officers and assistants there.
The National Guard, according to the internet, has been called in. It's been declared a state of emergency.
Within the hour, they have been contacted. We have PG County, Parker County, Baltimore County, who are currently there. MSP has had 40 officers there for the last 3 days. They actually sent another additional 40. They're at roughly 85. And we're expecting to go ahead and have more officers there as things clear themselves to go ahead and then they're to find the actual need.
Okay. Thank you. Next is Planning Director.
Dave's not here.
Dave's not here.
It's Jeff.
Yes, and next is Jeff Fleetwood, our Building Maintenance and also Human Resources.
Yeah, I'll go hand in hand, by the way. Three things. May 1st, we're scheduled to have a pre-bid, a walkthrough, if you will, for the contractor cleaners, which we put out. I sent you guys a link on that, so hopefully you were able to browse the documents. Working on budgets with Natalie and getting ready to get into what I consider the busiest time of the year for me anyway, and that's the open enrollment. I want to remind the six elected officials, please, May 19th, May 20th, or May 21st, there'll be more information here soon, but I need to see your smiling eyes and faces one of those 3 days, whether you carry benefits or you don't carry benefits, but you'll get more information when open enrollment is 19, 20, 21 May. That's it.
Thank you. Great.
Jeff, when you talked about we had received documents.
I sent you a link.
a link?
Yes, sir.
This is to the bid documents or the bid?
The RF.
Oh, okay.
Yes, RFP.
I just mentioned that Ivy's at the Maryland Economic Development Association's conference that they're having up at the Hyatt yesterday. She and I hosted 12 of the 14 folks that didn't make a head count who are part of that conference who requested when they organized it if they could come down by bus and take a tour of Berlin. And we had we took a bus tour, then we had luncheon and discussion about economic development initiatives that have been done here, things we still hope to do. And then they did a walking tour, and then they asked if they'd stay an hour longer so they could shop. So I think we made a good impression. So, at least it didn't help yourself. But anyway, just wanted to obviously on the job and. I'm very pleased because apparently these are all people of all different backgrounds. Some are elected public servants, some are economic development directors, others are people at county levels, some are in the profession. And it was very, I guess I found it, what a nice compliment that they asked to come here. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's the last time they're going to be visiting. Okay, so Ivy did her usual very good job of getting it all organized. Next, we have the town administrator's report.
I have a few purchase orders for you this evening. Purchase order number 1892 for Topic Distribution Service for Brochure Distribution and Printing. Purchase order number 2289, Worcester Youth and Family Counseling for $2,600.41. Purchase order number 2321, Ferguson Waterwork, it's $1,317.75. Hertrick Fleet Services Incorporated, purchase order number 2374, in the amount of $3,388 for capital outlay for equipment. Purchase order number 2349 to the Atlantic Hotel for $1,470.29 from building maintenance. Purchase order number 2377, Storage Battery Systems Incorporated, $3,288. Purchase order number 2180 for Dover Plumbing, $1,602.51. Purchase order number 2434 to Cards Computers, $1,012.61. Purchase order number 2286, Hills Electric Motor Service Incorporated, $6,969.82. And purchase order number 1424, Roy Case Electric, $47,720 for the Branch Street Generator to be reimbursed by FEMA.
Clark, if you would do me a favor and just briefly summarize what you and I discussed about the 2349, please, so there's no question.
Go ahead.
Sure. So Tim's probably the best person to explain this, but you jump in, Tim, if I misstate. It's, we did some work over at the Atlantic Hotel and replaced a transformer. In order for us to do that, we had to take the hotel offline completely for, I think it was several hours, in order to do that successfully and to keep the hotel's operations intact. We had a backup generator installed so that the system could keep running while we were doing our work. There were some issues with the backup generator, which created some small amounts of damage. We went to the rental company from whom we got the generator, is that correct, Tim? And expected to get them to sort of own the problem and pay for the damage, and they refused. So what we're recommending is that the town go ahead and pay the $1,400 and change to make the hotel whole, and we will cease to do business with that company in the future.
Thank you.
Just a point of clarity. When you said we did some work at the Atlantic Hotel, it's actually work that was the response, work that was the town of Berlin's located at the Atlantic Hotel.
To replace the transformer.
We were not working for.
That's correct. Right. No, to replace the transformer. That wasn't clear at all.
It was a Donald Berle bridge.
The electric utility.
Yeah, what?
I'll make a motion that we approve all 10 purchase orders.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to approve all 10 purchase orders as proposed by the town administrator. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, pass it unanimously.
Thank you, Laura.
And I want to thank Jane for talking about the spring ball collection. That often does, I appreciate it. And you explained it much better than I did. And next is, do you have any comments from the council?
No, sir.
I just have a quick one, and this is probably for Chief. I got a couple letters, and I'm kind of familiar with this, having a child in Buckingham, and actually I've looked at those that one sign and said, I wonder where that no parking means here. And apparently there's a parking problem there. It's not so prevalent, but when they have like assemblies or whatever, I mean, you gotta park on both sides of that Buckingham Street. And a couple of the residents said that, you know, they don't mind it not being parking in front of their house, but that maybe we should put better signs up or paint the curb red or address it a little bit more. Because honestly, I didn't know there was no parking there, and I parked there. And it's, you know, it's that sign, you know what I mean, Chief, where it's way, way down. And then, so then I was also wondering that maybe when they're having assemblies and PTA, if the no parking wouldn't be in effect, because you gotta park on that street.
It's always been a problem since they built the new school.
Yeah.
And a few years ago, they did double the size of the parking lot, which is still grossly too little.
There's not enough parking there.
Right. The thing is, we've actually had this addressed well before your letter to you. Made contact with the actual principal, and the agreement was to go ahead and to send out letters to the parents, not to go ahead and drop their kids off and walk all the way across. Again, the party who actually there made the complaint is stating that he is concerned about that issue, not when the events are going on or, you know, donuts for dad or those sort of things. Again, they should be dropping off at the drop-off points.
Right.
She other, again, stated that that information will be sent out. Made contact with Jane. She's actually going to have the actual signs ordered to be posted, and that will be happening very soon. But the big thing of it was to go ahead and before putting the signs out, start giving people tickets, to go ahead and inform them in different ways.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. But you can see how that sign, you're going, that was what you kind of, I'd see the sign and I didn't.
The one thing is the residents who actually know that it's a sign way down here and way here, they're the ones who are asking them not to go ahead and park there. Just because they get upset because other people are there and they can't park there, we have to go ahead and let them know. You have your own property to park on. Middle Street, they can go ahead and park on that whole street, and the property is right there. So, again, if we get the residents to go ahead and cooperate, I think we're really going to go ahead and time it that the signs get up in the next couple of weeks, and that we'll educate the parents not to go ahead and leave their cars there and walk the kids all the way instead of using
it's
the actual driver.
Correct. Sight of vision and all. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have one thing for Tim. When you have your construction meeting with the Cannery Village,
yes.
I'm really concerned. I have been concerned for a while. The entrance,
mm-hmm.
I really think we should make sure that we have a proper lighting. That's going to be a tricky entrance.
Are you talking about the finished plan?
Right.
I've already done that.
Okay.
There's actually going to be two of the Victorian style lights like you see out here. They're going to be on each side of the driveway,
okay.
The entrance. So it will definitely, it's already in the site plan.
Okay, because, you know, you come in from one side of the entrance is almost going to be on the county,
yes.
And the other side is going to be in the town. Mm-hmm. And coming from the county, you have no light around,
okay.
But the town, we should have proper lighting.
Yes.
But like you said, you already taken care of it.
I've already put it in the plans. It'll have a light on each side of the entrance right as you come into the driveway. So
okay.
It'll be lit up very
if we do right. Need to light it up, though, we can
right.
In the future, right?
Yes.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. If we see that's not enough light, then I think it's going to be really important to have more light there.
We can take care of that.
Okay.
I think it's a great suggestion. I'm glad you thought ahead about it.
Yeah.
In general, We can't have too much lighting, but we're fortunate that we have the option of adding lighting because we have our own electric.
It's actually going to be 15 streetlights total in the entire subdivision. They'll all be the Victorian style ones.
And again, all things in time, but maybe, you know, I hope to see the day, regardless if I'm still mayor or hopefully relaxing sometime, is that is to see the expansion of the Victorian lights, certainly starting with Flower Street. Mm-hmm. We just have to take it like everything else. There's a lot of wonderful ideas there, but at least this will set a precedent.
And I'd like to comment about dealing with this contractor.
Right.
I've been dealing with him a little bit. He has stressed that Berlin is a real good place to develop. But he said we're not. We're easy to work with, but we have a lot of demands. And I said, well, that's good.
That was good. You use it to your ears, right?
I said, we want to have a lot of demands because we want everything right. Okay. So that's good.
Well, no disrespect, Al Roy, but I had his development for 5 years under construction, literally in my backyard. So I'm glad you could take it.
And look what you ended up with.
It's all because you're a mother, though.
Keep credit for credit.
I just have a question for Jane. How are we doing with pothole repair?
Oh, just that's an ongoing thing.
Oh, yeah. Poor child, I drove your mess.
Ongoing.
I mean, it's been so wet that we patch them, and if they're not completely wet when we put the patch in, it comes back out, so we have to go back again and revisit it. But we've had a lot of wet, a lot of rain.
Moisture
still hanging around.
It's supposed to rain.
It's
the whole.
So basically, it's what you're saying that this will just continue until it gets caught up and stabilized.
Yes.
Which may be sometime in May or whatever.
So sooner than later, a little bit.
And hopefully, okay, we'll get some of that HUR money that we can use to work on these roads around here.
Yeah, that's supposed to be able to get. Mm-hmm. I assume it'll come sometime in July, but how fast?
But the county needs it. Everybody needs it. It's really showing.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Do we have any comments from anyone who's here in attendance tonight? Yes, sir.
I'm Jerome Jr.
Yes.
I met a young minority businessman yesterday, makes about $10 million a year. But the question is to Councilman Gillies, it might be pertaining to what Dean Burrell just asked, Lisa Hall and Troy Purnell, the roads on Harrison Avenue, the potholes. There's been a lot of complaints about it.
Well, that's kind of a funny situation.
I'll tell you where it stood before Richard Holland left for vacation. He called me and I informally had a conversation with him and said, let's get back together when you get back. That little section of road is the only part that's not owned by the town of Berlin. So in the past, Atkins Company, usually upon some prompting, has paved it. For reasons that he did not disclose to me, they don't want to continue to do that. At the same time, they don't want to deed it over to the town. So because, and this is going to be my suggestion, but I want to make sure I've got the partner on the other side. I said, well, what about if we split the difference to get it done ASAP? And he said, well, all right, I'll think about that. I'll get back to you when I get back. So it's a situation where ideally, All this could go to court, but we don't want to do. I mean, we're all in the same town.
We take that money and fix the road.
Yeah, we'd rather take the money. And so that's where that stands. And I that conversation was almost 2 weeks ago, so I'm expecting to hear back from him soon. And Laura, if you would just send me an email or something, I'll prompt a call and see if he's back, because if the council agrees, that's, I think, a way we can get that fixed immediately and then deal with this issue of deeding it over to the town, which would have solved the problem.
Because then we maintain it.
Before I had any gray hair at all, right? And that would make it easy because we could just do one hand at Harrison Avenue all the way to the other. But I think you're absolutely right. It's needed. It was needed.
Yeah, we've been looking at
all winter.
Just as frustrated.
But we, the towns on either end, right? And then from like the railroad track to the end of the building is actually Adkins Company Road, correct?
What happens is they own both sides and the street, which is unusual. I think it's the last place in town like that, and but totally agree with you. It needs to be done ASAP, and if they're willing to split the difference, we'll get it.
And that's why we've only been doing the patches and really haven't done it right, because it's not our
and
road.
The last time, I have to say, the last time it was needed, they did fix it. They did the whole thing the way they, things changed, and I'm not sure what he has in mind for that property, but thank you very much for bringing it up.
Okay.
I agree.
Because I had a lot of not just people, just ordinary people riding by, asking questions, wants to know. It says it's terrible. Like you said, they're going to start messing the car up, alignments of tires and stuff that. So
absolutely agree. And again, this time, though, I hope the ultimate solution, and I'm not talking years from now, is that roadway will eventually get deeded sooner or later to the town, then we can just take care of it like every other road.
Because we do need it. It takes a lot of pressure.
Well, and also, too, years ago, it was used primarily just by the Atkins Company and its predecessors, but now it's basically used by everybody. Thank you. Did you have anything else?
I said I might get talk to that young entrepreneur, minority man, and get him trying to donate to the Mr. Furry. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you for bringing that up and reminding me. Okay, does anyone else wish to address the council about anything? Any questions from the press? Okay, stand adjourned. Thank you very much for your patience and attendance.
Thank you. The officer's on his way back now, so we just got that phone call. Brian is on his way back to Baltimore City.
I'm going to go to the real world.